You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, 17 banners, way up in the rafters, J. King, John Corrales, and Sam Jam Packard. Focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly, Rainy Jays.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your regular routine. I am John Corrales of MassLive.com and of the Rain and Jays. Here alone for the moment, I had a nice conversation with Millie's, the man behind that amazing intro. We talked about his new album. We talked about the Celtics. That's coming up in a couple minutes. I want to thank everybody for subscribing, listening, wherever you get your podcasts. We are available everywhere podcasts exist. A couple of little notes here from earlier today. This is the Friday show, so Thursday. Team USA in action. We saw Jaylen Brown. Obviously, Kemba Walker led the game against Australia with 23 points. Jason Tatum looked good again. Very interesting that Kemba Walker and Marcus Smart were named captains of Team USA. That was what's really interesting about that, obviously, is that Marcus Smart hasn't played in a single game for them. And that we talk about this with Millie's, but it's wild to think what kind of impact he has on the team to be named a captain without having played in a single game. So obviously he's safe. Obviously he's not going to get cut from this team. They do have to make one more cut. We'll see who that cut is. But for now, obviously Kemba, obviously Smart are safe. We'll see if Tatum and Brown, Tatum's safe. Brown, he started against Australia. I think maybe that was maybe to get him a look. Brown has said that he's willing to play power forward. I think that's a really nice kind of, I don't want to say shift, but him talking about playing power forward for Team USA is encouraging, because having him play the four is a possibility for the Celtics. Millie's and I get into a whole conversation about the starting lineup. Who do the Celtics start this year? Do they put Tatum, Brown, and Hayward on the floor together as a starting unit? I don't know if that's going to work or not. I don't know if they're going to try it or not. I'll have more on that in a little while in the third segment. But the possibility of Brown kind of being open to playing the four, that's pretty good. Fours nowadays, like in my head as a guy in his 40s, the idea of a guy Jalen size playing the four, you're like, oh my god, he's going to get going up against some big guys, and there are some big fours in the league, but Jalen's a strong guy, and fours nowadays, they look more like Jalen. They might be a little bit taller, but they look more like Jalen. It's not the same kind of league anymore. So Jalen playing the four for Team USA, it's going to be interesting to see. I think that's a good reason to watch some of these games, to see how he does against some of these bigger guys. Another thing, Tatum. Tatum was passing a lot in this game against Australia. It's good to see him out there distributing. He threw an alley-oop, a successful alley-oop to Jaylen Brown. I think you have to be in the Southern Hemisphere for that alley-oop to work between Celtics. Maybe they have to play for Team USA for it to work. We haven't seen a successful alley-oop in Boston, I think, in 3 years, it seems. But Tatum out there doing his thing, distributing is another nice sign. Obviously, Kemba Walker dropping 23, his ability to lead a team and score a lot. He wasn't passing a ton, but he was out there doing most of the scoring. And so that's, for Celtics fans, that's going to be fun to see those Celtics out there doing that. I can't wait to see Marcus Smart out and playing in this international game. It's going to be a lot of fun. They play again Saturday night, Saturday at midnight Eastern. So that's the second exhibition, Saturday at midnight. And then a couple days later, they play Canada again at 5:30 in the morning. So set your DVRs for those of you on the East Coast. For those of you in Australia and around the world who have had to get up at weird times to watch games, congratulations on getting to watch like games at a normal time, like just 7:30 p.m. Like, for real, I'm happy that you guys get to experience that. I am absolutely not getting up at 5:30 to watch any of these games. So, you know, I appreciate that you guys do it. I'm not doing it. So props to you guys. Another thing, I talked to Taco Fall a little bit today. He helped unveil a new court. The Celtics are doing this. Every year they do this home court makeover for different families around Massachusetts, around the greater Boston area. I think they go into New Hampshire, Rhode Island, whatever, but they kind of make over these courts and either repaint or lay down like a rubberized court, and it's a whole big Celtics thing. Cedric Maxwell is there with one of these. It was Gordon Hayward the other day, Brad Wanamaker on Wednesday, Taco on Thursday. Taco's a really good guy. The story that I wrote for MassLive.com, you should always be checking out MassLive.com/Celtics for all of my stuff. The thing that struck me is that Taco said that he feels like this is a calling for him, like giving back to the community. That really struck me because you don't hear guys talk about this in that way. And I think Taco, having come from a small town in Western Africa, he's from Senegal, knowing where he came from and having this, as he puts it, a blessing to play basketball, take advantage of this physical gift that he was given, and hopefully he sticks around with the Celtics. To have that and be able to use that to give back is, it's amazing to hear him talk about it. He's already been back to Senegal as part of the Basketball Without Borders program. He went to Canobie Lake Park, with the Celtics for their annual youth program there. He did this thing yesterday. He's only been in town for a couple of months, and he's already done a bunch of these things. It's impressive to see, and it's impressive to see how it touches him. So that was very cool to see. Those are my quick notes on Celtics basketball. After the break, two segments with Millie's talking about, first, his album, second, the Celtics. Want to make sure that you understand that because we're talking about Millie's music, that there's going to be some sensitive discussion there, language, references to things that are in his songs. He hasn't lived the best life, I guess. He's seen a lot of like crazy things. So just be aware that if you've got some kids listening, maybe you want to, whatever, just be aware that there are references in there that are definitely of adult nature when we talk about his album. So that's the second segment. We get together and talk about the Celtics in the third segment. So stick around for more of that here on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Millie's, first of all, got to thank you again for the amazing intro. I mean, like, we can't stop talking about this thing. And it's just, I don't know what to say other than you just fucking killed it.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. It's only right, bro. You know? One of my, well, yeah, it's my go-to podcast, man. So we got to keep the intro fresh.
Oh, we appreciate that. Notice that this time around we stayed away from some of the players and all that stuff.
Definitely.
We don't want to get into that whole thing. After you said best squad in the East, so we can't.
Oh my God, I hated it. I almost couldn't even listen to the podcast last year. I felt so stupid.
I mean, you were right, though. You were right. You can't get complacent, and they did. So, in a way, you were giving them advice, and they were not listening to you.
Yeah, but, like, really, the line wasn't saying it like that. I was saying, like, we can't get complacent to, like, not win the championship. Like, I had so much more, man, I thought we had so much more potential, man. But, yeah, you could take it like that.
Sure. Everybody's loving it. Like, people are asking for, like, downloads. Where can they download our podcast intro? That's how good it is. Want to talk about, at first, before we get into some of the actual Celtics talk, want to talk about the new album, Blanco 2.
Yeah.
Another great album. I've said this before. I've told you this before. I'm an old man. I'm done. I'm done listening to new music, but you're, like, one of the few people that I'm like, okay, this is good. Like, I'll go listen to this over and over and over again. I'm still listening to Saints and Sinners. I'm listening to all your other ones, too. So this is good stuff.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about this. The one thing that stood out to me is you mentioned this in it's kind of like the central theme to All on Me, where you talk about your mom and you feel about what was the kind of motivation here in this album, and especially in that song. I mean, you just dropped the video for that too. Talk about your feelings there going into something, making this record.
I think probably, like, you know, my mother, she installed all of my innocence in me, you know. Other than that, I would have been a demon. You feel? So she gave me all my innocence, man. And she pulled for me, like, she just had a rough journey, you know, raising me. I put her through a lot. So, I think, you know, the song sounded like it called for some big singing. I got in there on my Boyz II Men vibe, you know, and just sung my own little ballad towards her. You feel me? But yeah, you know, just putting your parents through things at a young age. I was just reflecting on that because I definitely put her through a lot.
You seem to be reflecting on a lot in this one. What was, when you were putting this album together, Is that how you felt? Did you feel reflective in this? Am I right?
Yeah, I think I always do. Like, it's so weird how sometimes I'll turn on a beat and I'll be 15 all of a sudden. Like, you know, and I'll go to a specific memory when I'm 15, or I might be 20, you know, 20, just turning 21. It might be my 21st birthday or whatever. Like, I just go to a certain moment. A lot of the times through music, it's like a time portal. You know, sometimes. And so I think I approach all of my music like that, but I try to keep it present day too, you know? So
yeah,
there's definitely, like, there's a reflective quality about all of my album.
Yeah, for people who don't understand how the music is made, like explain, like, you get a beat. Are you thinking about, I want to make a song about this, and you talk to a producer and say, get me a beat that sounds like this?
Not me personally. Like, other people might, you know, do that. But for me, like, I just completely go off the beat. Like, the music has to speak to me. It's like the beat talks to me. And then I decide off of that, like, all right, I'm going with this vibe. You know, but I never really have, like, topics I just want to speak on, and then I bring that to life through a beat. I've heard of other people doing that, but that's never been me personally. I just go whatever beat is, that it kind of dictates what the record's going to be about.
I see. And who are the producers on this one?
I got the Colombians, who's like a producer duo that I've been rocking with. They're actually really from Medellin, Colombia. Like, I go out there and visit them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been rocking with them for a minute. Hum Beats, he's dope. I'm gonna forget a lot of people, so I don't want to list all the producers right now. You know what I mean? But yeah, a lot of dope producers.
I mean, you've been working with a lot of great people. You got a. I feel like you kind of mix up your styles a little bit. There are some beats that have like a definite old school vibe, and then you get some of the kind of trap-ish kind of.
Yeah, the trap feels.
You know, which definitely not my thing. Like I said, old man, I'm like I'm like Eric B. and Rakim days. You know, like those. Are my, that's my vibe.
Yeah, but you gotta get with the wave, man.
I am trying, Millies. I am trying not to be an old man, but like. Let me tell you something. You dropped this song called Tilapia, and I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, that song just makes... I'm like, God damn it. Like, I'm like trying to look up Urban Dictionary. Like, what is he talking about?
It's tilapia, like, you know, like fish scale.
Sure. Oh, I see. I got gotcha.
Fish, yeah, it's a drug reference.
Gotcha. I mean, I guess...
It's a cocaine reference. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Moving tilapia.
Yeah. Oh. Well, see, this is educational for me.
Yeah.
I swear. I try to act young, man. I try to act young.
Nah, it's cool. Like, I've been getting that question from multiple people. What the fuck is we're moving to Lafayette?
Yeah, I couldn't get it.
But maybe we could be rapping about working at a fish market or something. You
could, I mean, that's what I'm thinking, but I'm naive.
Yeah, so. You know. Well, now the cat's out the bag.
There you go. I do appreciate that you use the word skeezer, because I've been telling you, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter. I'm going back. I was listening to EPMD, and they had the line where they call the girl the skeezoid, and I'm like, we got to bring skeezoid back. That's like an old 80s diss.
Right.
We need to bring that back. And when I heard that in the song, I was like, yes. It's organically happening. I'm trying to lead this charge.
It's weird because I don't even say that word in conversation, but, you know, it fit.
It worked.
It fit. Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like about this album is that Reload is only like a minute and a half long, and I want Reload to be like 10 minutes long. Like,
yeah, you know, that was actually the original intro to the album.
Oh, really?
But like you said, I got my kind of trap because that's a trap beat. To me, so you know, like that's kind of like a trap-ish beat to me, so that's why I was surprised that you actually liked it. But that was originally going to be the intro to the project, but then I was like, nah, I don't want to scare my hip-hop core off by starting the project like this, because then the album kind of goes trap heavy right after that. I got Demons and all of these trap joints. So I didn't want to just scare off some of my audience. I wanted to come with a kind of like a neutral sounding song, like more of a traditional hip hop joint to start it. So Reload got pushed to the outro. But yeah, we're going to shoot a video for that too.
Oh, man.
Something crazy.
I don't know. Whatever it is, the bass line kicks in, the cadence to it. I just.
Yeah.
Honestly, because it's an outro. You go to the gym and sometimes it's just kind of like, oh shit, I don't have it. And then
that is a good gym song. Facts.
It comes on, all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, okay, now I got to be careful because now I want to fight somebody. That's
got me. The best music.
That has gotten me through workouts. Like that's just you get into that rhythm. I love it. Whatever. All right, so that's the
appreciate
album.
That.
People should go check it out, buy it, stream it, whatever. Are you performing any shows? What's your schedule like? Can people come see you anywhere?
I'm gonna be announcing a tour soon. We just did the Boston joint, but
now see, I'm sad that I missed that. I'm
yeah, man,
I'm kind
that
of
was
afraid
the one.
To go to some of these shows because people are like, "Is that a cop?" But I still want to go. I'm sad that I missed that. I've seen the videos. That looked like it was crazy.
Yeah, that was love. So many Celtics jerseys in the building too.
Nice.
It was crazy. Like that was like everyone's uniform. It was like a Celtics game in them.
That was awesome. That's awesome. All right, so can't wait to hear what this tour is gonna be. Definitely be pumping that up. Blanco 2 available everywhere now. Go check it out for real. If me, the old guy, is talking about this and enjoying it. It's kind of, this kind of spans all generations. That's
yeah. And if you're really, if you're really just into like traditional hip hop sound, go check out Saints and Sinners, my project with Static Selector. That's 100% all traditional hip hop.
Still, you know? I still listen to that front to back. Like that's still great. Like, I don't know. Even like I said, even the stuff that I might not normally listen to, you make it work. So that's cool.
You are Locked On Celtics, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Celtics. From your perspective, what did you think about what happened this offseason? From the guys leaving to the guys coming back, the guys that they signed.
Oh my God! Like I was overwhelmed when we got Kemba. I thought that was just the greatest thing in life. Like, because I thought it was over. I thought it was over. I thought it was over. I was like, the rebuild again. Oh my God. And then we got fucking Kemba Walker. And I was just like, well, at least we're not rebuilding. You know, I mean, we're rebuilding in a sense, but not like the complete, like, we're, you know, right, out of the playoffs type rebuild. So I was real hype about Kemba, but I'm sad about Al, you know, and I'm nervous about the front court. You know, but I'm also optimistic, man. You know, I don't like Gordon Hayward, but maybe he could come back and be somebody, you know, this year. Like maybe he's coming back around. I guess because of, you know, the Rain and Jay's opinion on Gordon Hayward, I didn't bash him too much because it felt like. Like y'all kind of like feel that he's just getting over his injury and you got to give him time, right?
Yes,
that was your general like because I was like fuck him, bro, he's terrible. Like that's how I felt. Like oh my God! And sometimes like he'll heat up and I'll see the flash, but then it's just like not. And I'm like, man, this should already happen, but I'm trying to stay on the side of like yeah, like all right, like next year he'll be good.
That's I think the hope. Like if he has the same season this year that he had last year, like there's no excuse. Like last year
what hit me last year was I was like not only was he trash, but he was messing up Jason Tatum's minutes and Jaylen Brown and the whole chemistry and every, you know, I was just like oh my God, I hated it.
Yeah, that was a problem. We heard afterwards that it was a problem. I like you said, I didn't think that was fair, but there were so many different dynamics happening last year with those young guys thinking that they were like hot shit after the run that they made, and Kyrie not knowing what the hell he was doing.
Nah, that was a lot, yeah.
You know,
it was a lot.
Throwing Gordon Hayward into that mix, he didn't play 5-on-5 until the end of September, and like a month later the season starts. Like that was never going to work out right.
So, that was one of the worst years of basketball, Celtics basketball I've ever watched.
But now, like we just talked to Gordon Hayward a couple of days ago. He seems like he feels good. He feels confident. So like I said, this year, if he sucks, I guess for lack of a better term, then it's just like, well, I guess it went away. Like then there's not much defending that you can do after that. Like last year was understandable. This year he kind of needs to get back to or close to, like maybe you'll say okay, he's never going to be that all-star level guy, but he needs to like be good. He's a good basketball player, he needs to be good. What do you think of, have you been watching at all any of the USA basketball stuff?
I haven't. How's it going over there?
I think that the Celtics involved look pretty good. They just named Marcus Smart and Kemba
team captain.
Captains.
Yeah.
Marcus Smart hasn't played at all. That goes to tell you what he's been like in practices.
Yeah.
To name him a captain. Like that's big. That's pure Marcus Smart stuff right there to earn captain without even playing a single game. So I think it's going well.
Go ahead. Who are we thinking is the Celtics starting lineup this year?
That's an excellent question, because I don't know. Obviously, you know Kemba, you know Jason Tatum, and then the next, like,
I guess
Kanter is, but we don't know what Vincent Poirier is going to be, the French guy that they signed. He looks good overseas. He looks good in those in the league that he's been playing in. But then again, so did Daniel Tice. So it's hard to say, like, maybe he'll work out. Maybe he can earn a starting spot. But I'm gonna guess Kanter. And then do you start Hayward and Jalen? I don't know. In my dream scenario, Grant Williams gets good enough at some point during the season to be a starting level guy. In that, I don't expect him. I don't expect him to like score points or do a bunch. I expect like Kemba, Jalen, Jason to do all the score, like those guys. But like, I want a power forward in there that's going to set picks, rebound, do all the things, because everybody else is going to want to score, right? So to have one guy in there that's like cool with not scoring and doing all the dirty work, I think that's an important element. And then you can have like Marcus Smart and either Gordon Hayward or Jaylen Brown, whichever one doesn't start, have those two guys coming off the bench. That'd be a hell of a bench unit led by those two guys. That's my ideal scenario. I don't know if they're going to get there, though. That's a lot to ask of.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But that's how I want it to work out. But I'm thinking maybe Jalen might start at the four. That might be how it goes.
I think they need to start Jalen just for the the impact he's able to have on the game. Sometimes it's his energy, man.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
we saw it in the playoffs.
For real, yeah, absolutely. He handled last year better than anybody, and I don't think he gets enough credit for, after everything that happened, him going to the bench. He accepted that role, and he probably didn't like it much, but he accepted it, and he did well in that role once he kind of got used to it. So I can see I'm open to whatever. I don't know. What do you think the starting lineup should be?
I don't know, man.
See,
you know,
it's the hardest question to answer right now.
I don't know. I was like Kemba, Tatum, Brown, Hayward, Kanter. I don't know if that even fits. Like, I don't know. Can Hayward and Tatum and Jaylen Brown be successful on the floor together?
You know, I think they can, but I'd rather have that. I think that can be a closing lineup. You know what I mean? Like, the closing lineup is when everybody's done with their individual stuff. And it's just, okay, now it's time to work together. Like, the last 5 minutes of the game is, okay, let's get serious and win this game. I think the first quarter is guys kind of feeling out their games, getting out there, scoring their points. Like, there's a little bit more personal stuff going on early on in games. Guys are trying to get in rhythm. So that's why I kind of want to separate those three wings. And that's why I want to start one of them on the bench.
But that's the hard part, because they're all starters in the NBA. They deserve to be starters in the NBA.
So I don't know. Maybe Brad, after having Gordon come off the bench last year, like, you have a history. You have Gordon and Jalen coming off the bench last year and it working. So at least a little bit. So maybe he goes to those two guys and says, hey, ideally, we're going to need one of you guys to come off the bench. You're still going to play your 32 minutes, but having one of you guys come in at the 5 minute mark is going to really, really help us out, and see how that plays with one of those two guys. I want Smart and one of those wings off the bench, because that is a nice punch. That's just what I want. And I don't know how to play that the rest of that starting lineup, because there all of a sudden now there's a hole at the four, unless you start Wanamaker or something weird like that. But I don't think that
would work.
You know, like, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to play out.
It's going to be interesting, man.
So from your perspective, What do you like better? Do you like going into a season here with like no expectations and you feel like, all right, let's just kind of see how this goes? Or knowing that last season the shit hit the fan, but you had like that big expectation.
I got a big expectation.
You'd rather just have the big
but
expectation.
I think that's just normal for me. Like, but you know, like I feel like, what do we make it to? Like the second round or something, and then won a couple and they smacked us after that. Now we gotta at least go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Mm.
You think they make it to the conference finals this year?
I do, but you know. Hey. I don't know. After last year, I said we were the best squad in the East on the podcast intro. So I don't know. Last year got me questioning my whole knowledge of basketball. Like,
well,
I guess I didn't factor in how much. Yeah, I guess I didn't factor in how much chemistry really plays a part in the NBA, man.
Jam picked them to win 65 games. So don't feel bad about saying what you said in the podcast intro. You know what I mean? Like there was a lot of people that were,
I mean, I bet on them to win the finals before the year started.
I mean, you're not alone.
Yeah, and then the bookie hit me and was like, "Yo, you owe me $300 or something like that." And I'm like, "Like how? For what?" And it's like the bet from the beginning of the year. Oh man, so you know, but yeah, man, that threw me because I celebrated like after we damn near went to the finals with. Yeah. Perry and Jaylen Brown and without Kyrie and Hayward. Oh my God. I was in New York every day around my friends celebrating the championship we were about to win once Kyrie and them come back every day.
Yeah.
And I would break it down to them. I would be on the phone with my friends from the Bay Area, telling them why we match up against Golden State and how we're going to smack them. Like
we did a whole podcast on that. We did a whole podcast talking about that, Matt, like that. Yeah. All right. That's last season. We're looking forward. I'm excited for this season. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think there are going to be some surprises. There's always a surprise, but I think there's going to be some interesting stuff that happens this year.
Do you think we can do something at the deadline or we'll get another piece at some point?
I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't be surprised. I think one of the things that happened last year, and you heard Wick Grosbeck talking about it after the season, that I think Wick kind of maybe regretted a little bit not making a move at the deadline. And I think this time around, if they are either
looking decent. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like he's going to be more like, let's pull the trigger on something, especially if that three wing thing doesn't work. Like if Jaylen, Tatum and Gordon, it doesn't work. Then I wouldn't be surprised to see something that kind of alleviates that situation, let's say. So I don't know what that'll be, but at this point, I'm not going to be surprised by anything.
Yeah, I dig that. No, I'm excited for it, though.
Me too. Millie's been a pleasure as always. Going to let you go get back to business. It's a shame that Sam and Jay weren't able to make it. Sam otherwise occupied. Jay is at the Patriots preseason game. He sent me this text. He says, "I'll be at the Patriots preseason game, but tell him I said he's a god." So I got to make sure that I got that message across to you.
My man.
And he's right.
No doubt, bro.
He's right. You're the god of.
Oh, and shout out to Fortez. For the production,
you know,
this time I wanted to make sure I knew what type of beat I was kind of looking for, you know, and he crushed that. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Once again, the fire intro, it's gotta be, I can't imagine another podcast intro in anywhere comparing to this. I would put that up against any.
That's a fact. There's no better podcast intro.
None, never, nowhere. So thank you for that. Again, Blanco 2, and stay tuned for a tour announcement from Millie's. Millie's, as always, I like that this is an annual thing. This is great. I always appreciate having you on, man. Thank you very much.
My man, appreciate you, bro.
It's an annual event having Millie's on the podcast, ever since he found Jay King at the Garden a few years ago and said, I want to do an intro for your podcast. It's been amazing. I'm really thrilled. We gush over and over. We've gushed about it all week. We're going to stop like gushing about it next week, but it's really, really, really cool. Like Millie's is an established rapper. He's blowing up. His music is really good. If you're into rap music, like I said a million times, it crosses the generations. Like I'm an old school guy. I grew up on the first golden era of hip hop and the late 80s, you know, my Big Daddy Kane album, 1988, EPMD, those guys, Kool Moe Dee. So Eric B and Rakim, that's the stuff I listen to, but I do enjoy what Millie's is doing, and he's hustling. He's really trying to, you know, make this to get even bigger. And for him to, first of all, be a listener and enjoy the podcast. And as you heard in the conversation, talking about like our podcast influenced how he was processing Gordon Hayward's season last year, which is amazing to me. And so to have him as a listener and then to turn around and give us these intros, it's awesome. So it's super, super cool. Humbling to a degree here, because I'm like, it's inspiring to me, because when somebody takes the effort to make something like that for our podcast, it's a nice reminder that I have to put in and we have to put in the same amount of work to produce a podcast that's worthy of something like that. And when we see all of you who are listening and those numbers, which have been phenomenal over the course of this year, again, they continue to grow, to see how many people are listening and from wherever in the world you're listening, it's really inspirational. And it does kind of drive us to say, okay, we got to go out there and we got to put in this work and give you a good quality podcast. So I hope you are enjoying it. We're almost through the dead part of the season. August is almost over. September's around the corner here. More USA basketball. So more Tatum, Brown, Kemba, Smart stuff to talk about. And then the season's going to be upon us. Camp's going to open before you know it. Preseason basketball will be here and we'll be talking basketball again, and the NBA will be back and everything will be right with the world. So subscribe now if you're a new listener, if you're one of Millie's followers and you're just checking us out for the first time, welcome aboard. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Give us that subscription wherever you get your podcasts. Do that. Also, a 5-star rating would be very much appreciated. Good written review. And share the podcast. Tell everybody when they ask you, what podcast should I be listening to? You tell them it's the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Rainy day.